Falun Gong is freely practiced in over 40 countries around the world, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGM-TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else. Hello, welcome to FGM-TV. On November the 13th, 2001, I'm Susan Mitchell. Some of our stories this week. Hong Kong authorities resort to violence against Falun Gong practitioners while they were conducting a legal and peaceful demonstration. Practitioners introduce Falun Dafa to Greenland. A Canadian university student walks 130 kilometers from St. Catharines to Toronto to urge university students to join in and help rescue Falun Gong practitioners persecuted in China. A local Chinese newspaper in Montreal is sued by Canadian practitioners after publishing an article slandering Falun Dafa. In this week's update from China, the number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died in detention is 307 as of today, although government sources in China say that the actual number exceeds 1,000. Why do the banners in Tiananmen Square say Falun Gong is good? News of the truth of the persecution was broadcast in Tiananmen Square during the October the 1st holiday. Remembering the Beijing Falun Dafa press conference on October the 28th, 1999. The UN Human Rights Commissioner visits Beijing. And short stories of retribution suffered by authorities who've committed crimes against practitioners. And finally, Russian media are so anxious to report the truth of Falun Gong that they arrive at Ms. Zhang Tsui-ying's painting exhibition the day before the press conference and an hour before the exhibition itself opened. Greenland is an autonomous territory of Denmark and is about 50 times the size of Denmark. It has a population of about 50,000 people, most of whom are Eskimos. Nuuk, the capital city, is only 300 kilometers from the North Pole. Between October the 17th and 26th, four practitioners from Denmark traveled to Nuuk to introduce Falun Dafa to the people there. Here are some excerpts from their diaries. October the 18th was a bright sunny day, and the good weather lasted for 8 days. It seemed the early winter weather had been turned back a little while. The good weather brought good conditions for us to spread Falun Dafa in the streets, and it lasted until we left Greenland. On October the 18th, we first went to the biggest activity center, the Culture Exhibition Center. Even though we had not made an appointment, the director of the center welcomed us and offered us 2 days of exhibition space. He also promised to put out posters in the center and contact media and broadcast activity information through the local radio station on our behalf. What a smooth start. We at once contacted another practitioner who was still back in Denmark to have him bring photographs to display. In the meanwhile, we also visited the media to arrange interviews. The photo exhibition started in the afternoon of October the 18th. Our exhibition was composed of two main themes: the history of how Falun Dafa spread in China and the truth of Jiang Zemin's persecution against it. When the center opened its doors, many people came in to look at the pictures and talk to practitioners. Almost everyone signed the appeal letters. We started to do an exercise demonstration, and before the end of the first exercise, many people had lined up in front of us and had started to follow our movements. So we started to teach them immediately. At that moment, a reporter from a TV station came and started videotaping. The report in the event news made us known to the residents, and we were welcomed on the street all the time from that point on. The 2-day photo exhibition and exercise teaching were a huge success. We decided to extend the exhibition for 2 more days, and the director of the center offered free space to us. Lovely children gathered around us all the time. Maybe because of their pure hearts connecting to their true nature, they were the most enthusiastic group and followed us everywhere to practice with us. They remembered the exercises, and we've become good friends. On the last day of the exhibition, we gave our exercise music tape to the children. Only after they took down our contact information did they reluctantly leave. Christine Loftus, a 21-year-old student at Brock University in Canada, successfully completed a 5-day, 130-kilometer walk from St. Catharines to Toronto on Monday, November the 12th. Christine's walk was part of the global SOS effort to urgently rescue the Falun Gong practitioners persecuted in China. She carried with her a letter from the Brock University Students' Union that encourages students from other universities to join in the global SOS effort. On her way, Christine met with Mayor Ray Conkle from the town of Lincoln, who came out in the rain to give her his heartfelt support. On Friday, the president of Hamilton's McMaster University Student Union was so touched by her efforts that he immediately sat down and wrote a personal letter of support. Liz Majic, Equity Commissioner from the University of Toronto Students Administrative Council, the SAC, said, "I think Christine's initiative is a fantastic demonstration of student involvement and leadership, a great way to raise awareness around this issue." The U of T SAC has voted to campaign for the rights of Falun Gong practitioners and expressed its will in a recent letter to Prime Minister Jean Chrétien. On arriving in Toronto on Monday, November the 12th, Christine walked through Chinatown and then delivered letters to the University of Toronto Students Administrative Council, to Mayor Mel Lastman, and to Ryerson University Students Administrative Council. Publishers of a local Chinese newspaper have found themselves in the middle of a lawsuit after publishing an article slandering Falun Dafa. The writer of the article posed as a Falun Gong practitioner, but the article was very clearly the work of a person being motivated by the Chinese government, since it repeated their propaganda and slandered the founder of Falun Gong. Falun Dafa practitioners across Canada acted immediately in obtaining legal counsel to sue the publishers and order an immediate retraction and apology. Moving now to Thailand and Banjaseri Park in Bangkok. On the full moon of the 12th month of the Thai calendar, Thailand celebrates the festival of Loy Kra Thong, which took place this year on October the 31st. Practitioners from Bangkok went to Banjaseri Park during the holiday celebration to demonstrate the exercise and distribute flyers. There were many tourists from all over the world during the celebration, including a German woman who had learned about Falun Gong in her home country. She happily joined the Thai practitioners in doing the exercises. And now this week's update from China. On October the 26th, 2001, Falun Gong practitioner Mr. Zhu Yajun of Heilongjiang province in northeast China died after a series of brutal forced feedings during which the Changlingzi labor camp warden injected him with an unknown substance. Zhu's death brings the count of known deaths from police brutality to 39 in Heilongjiang province alone. The victims range in age from 17 to 65. Government sources inside China estimate that only one-third or fewer of the deaths are reported. 307 Falun Gong practitioners are verified to have died due to brutality in custody since Chinese President Jiang Zemin began the persecution in July 1999. In Chinese culture, it is commonly accepted in thought and practice that bad people should die. For the first few years after Falun Gong was introduced to the public, the government of China used its vast propaganda machine to encourage everyone to practice Falun Gong. Amongst the many benefits, practitioners were saving the country billions of dollars in health care. When a government survey concluded in 1998 that the number of practitioners exceeded the membership of the Communist Party, President Jiang Zemin instituted the current crackdown. Since July of 1999, the government of China has flooded the country with lies and false information. The intent? To make everyone in the country believe that Falun Gong is bad and to raise no objections when authorities torture practitioners to death. And so Falun Gong practitioners often shout out, "Falun Gong is good," and hold up banners in Tiananmen Square that say the same thing, "Falun Gong is good." Practitioners are publishing the truth of the persecution and details of deaths in custody, information that is not allowed to be known through state-controlled media. This truth-clarifying information is distributed through flyers, CDs, television programs such as this one, and also, as in the following account, hanging banners in conspicuous places to help their fellow countrymen know the truth that Falun Gong is indeed very, very good. Over the October the 1st national holiday period, some practitioners in Beijing risked their lives by putting up 30 6-meter banners and 6 loudspeakers to broadcast the true story of Falun Gong. 4 banners and 2 loudspeakers were erected near Tiananmen Square, with one of the speakers placed at the base of the flagpole. These achievements are quite significant, considering that so many plainclothes police are constantly patrolling the area. On October the 28th, 2 years ago, some Falun Dafa practitioners from Beijing and other places successfully held a China Falun Dafa press conference in Moon River Holiday Village, Tongzhou District of Beijing. Knowing they would be arrested and tortured, they stepped forward bravely during the time when the world was believing the Chinese propaganda that slandered Falun Dafa. The international news media, including Hong Kong media, reported positively on the practice and the event, exposing the brutal persecution. Those practitioners who organized and participated in the press conference were all arrested and detained shortly afterwards. 2 have since died of torture. But their bravery inspired millions of practitioners in China to have the courage to uphold their beliefs. State-owned media in China are boasting that Falun Gong is being wiped out, whereas FGM-TV is receiving reports that in one area of China alone, at least 3,000 more people have come to learn Falun Gong since the crackdown began, including whole families, and that Juan Falun, the main book of Falun Gong teachings, is in great demand. Moving now to Hong Kong. On November the 11th, 3 Falun Gong practitioners were injured by police yesterday when authorities broke up a peaceful legal demonstration in front of China's representative building. In a shocking display of Beijing-style governance, more than 30 Hong Kong police and 10 authorities from the Food, Environment and Health Bureau rushed the group of approximately 10 Falun Gong practitioners at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. The group was on their 46th day of a continuous, peaceful, silent vigil, drawing attention to the plight of imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners in China. The demonstrations are legal by current Hong Kong law. Witnesses say police injured 3 of the demonstrators, pulling them away from their signboards and pinning them forcefully to the ground. The 3 were later sent to hospital for examination. Hong Kong police have offered no explanation for the action, nor has any explanation been offered for the puzzling involvement of the Food, Environment and Health Bureau. However, sources say that authorities from the Chinese representative office have been pressuring the Hong Kong police to find an excuse to break up the demonstrations since they began in late September. Sophie Shao, spokesperson for Falun Gong in Hong Kong, commented, "In an ordinary society, police are supposed to promote justice and protect good people. However, in this incident, the authorities sent out such a large force to suppress a small group of nonviolent Falun Gong practitioners. It's absurd. We hope that Hong Kong leaders will not blindly follow the oppressors in mainland China, continuing along this path of persecuting truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance." Ms. Shao says that they will continue their sit-in appeal in front of China's representative office. "We will expose this incident," she said, "discuss the issue with the relevant parties with kindness, and clarify the truth. We believe that good will be rewarded with good and evil will be punished." Here are a few little stories we received this week about people who suffered after committing crimes against Falun Gong practitioners in China. Vice Chief Zheng Huoping of the Police Department of Shenzhou County in Henan Province was in charge of detention centers there. He committed acts of persecution against Falun Dafa practitioners many times. On October the 28th, on the way to Lei He, he was hit by a vehicle and died. The 4 other people in the same car with him were unharmed. Former Secretary Yang Jing-chen of Yi County's Politics and Law Committee of Jinzhou City actively persecuted Falun Dafa practitioners. Recently, he died suddenly of a brain hemorrhage. A 40-year-old self-employed electric utility repairman who lives at number 83 Wenming Road of Wuchang District in Wuhan City, assisted the police in arresting a practitioner whose only quote-unquote crime was distributing literature telling the truth of Falun Gong. The repairman's motive in helping the police was to get reward money of 2,000 yuan. Several days later, he felt uncomfortable and went to the hospital for an examination. He was diagnosed with cancer and died a few weeks later in mid-October of 2001. And our final story this week takes place in St. Petersburg, Russia. In last week's news, we reported that artist and Falun Gong practitioner Zhang Cui-ying held a successful exhibit of her paintings in Germany. This week, we have a few photographs from her exhibition in St. Petersburg, where the paintings were hung in the National Artists Association building. The exhibition also included posters of the persecution being suffered by practitioners in China. Local Russian practitioners had generated such enthusiasm for the exhibition that reporters from 5 television stations and 3 radio stations arrived 1 hour before the scheduled start time of the exhibition and 1 whole day before the press conference. Ms. Zhang conducted many interviews and answered questions about her experience of torture and solitary confinement in a Chinese labor camp. Within 2 hours, the interviews and video footage were being broadcast on air. Chinese embassy officials in Russia have been very diligently spreading their lies about Falun Gong. So it is significant that the Russian media are anxious to tell their citizens the other side of the story. Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.